It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. In the digital age, word spreads fast, and that can be a blessing and a curse. As WPR's Daniel Kading reports, a review of the Husky refinery explosion found social media caused confusion for emergency crews trying to evacuate people from Superior this past April.
When an explosion at Husky Oil refinery punctured an asphalt tank and sparked fires in April, Julia Johnson was working at home about 3 miles away.
That one doesn't really latch.
This one doesn't really either. It's an old... This is an addition.
Johnson works at a Duluth nonprofit that gives people information in a disaster or an emergency. But it was Johnson who needed information about what was going on after black smoke began filling the sky over the refinery. People were being told to evacuate, but Johnson says checking Facebook and news websites, it wasn't clear what areas were in the evacuation zone.
I checked one page and it said within 1 mile of the explosion. One said 1 to 3, and then both of them said 3 to 5.
News reports weren't helping straighten it out.
If you're 10 miles south and within 2 or 3 miles to the northeast and west of the Husky Oil refinery.
Anyone within 5 miles of that facility is now being asked to evacuate.
3 miles on either side, on all sides to the north, east, and west of the refinery, and then 10 miles to the south.
Residents from 3 miles around have been told to evacuate.
Douglas County Emergency Management Director Keith Kessler says there was a lot of confusion about the evacuation area that day. A report on the emergency response points to social media.
Information that was not 100% accurate got out that perhaps caused the evacuation zone to be a little larger than it was originally intended to be. Working with social media can be very difficult. It's hard to control.
A lot of agencies and people were giving out different evacuation orders on Twitter and Facebook, like the National Weather Service and the Superior Police Department. Even Superior Mayor Jim Payne shared evacuation information that wasn't quite right. But he says social media and confusion go hand in hand.
I'm just not feeling terribly apologetic for either myself or anybody else that issued an order for doing so. Once they saw danger, they told people to get out of danger and they gave them the best information they could at the time that they had it.
If the same thing happened today, Payne says they would respond better. He and other agencies have gone through training so that everyone knows their roles in an emergency. Douglas County's Kessler says many had already been through that training, but they're improving how they work together. That includes designating a single point person to share information.
We're going to work more to try to develop a better public information program to try to get everyone saying the same thing at a similar time.
Kessler says there's always a few wild cards, but he feels the emergency response went pretty much by the book. But that's no comfort to Johnson, who returned home that night thinking the fire was out and the evacuation order had been lifted.
They had put it out like a little bit, but it had restarted. So the evacuation was still on until like 9 a.m. for the next day.
Superior Police tweeted the evacuation would last about 2 more hours after the fire was put out that night, but later corrected that post. Johnson says they were trusting emergency crews and city leaders to give them the best information to keep them safe.
I would prefer if they don't know. They say they don't know, and they say it's indefinite because they're putting people's lives at risk, putting out wrong information.
And the actual evacuation area that day? The county's report said it was a 1 mile radius around the refinery, 10 miles south, and 3 miles east and west of the southern evacuation line.
Daniel Kading reported when the explosion, fire, and evacuations were breaking news. Since then, she's been following how the emergency has shaped the community. She's Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter in Superior, and she joins us now on the morning show. Danny, thank you for talking with us today.
Hi, John.
So what new information did this report bring to light?
Basically, it focused a lot on communications and what was a challenge for emergency crews at that time. You know, social media, as you just heard, was one part of it, but it was also a border issue, as you heard earlier in the hour, with the radio systems that Wisconsin and Minnesota use. Minnesota has a system that's called ARMOR, and Wisconsin has a system that's called WISCOM. And those two radio systems work on different frequencies. So that meant that a Duluth firefighter or a Duluth cop couldn't communicate with a Superior firefighter or a Superior cop. So they had to pair people up with the radio so that they would be able to communicate. That's been resolved. But, you know, a lot of the report focused on the communication and ways that they could improve things moving forward, some of the strengths that they saw that day with the response, and training and tabletop exercises and more understanding surrounding what happens in an emergency and what structure guides that response.
One takeaway from the report is that conflicting information spread on social media caused a lot of confusion about who needed to evacuate Superior. How did that happen?
Well, I think, you know, things were happening fast in an emergency. And so basically you had a lot of people who were on the ground over at the refinery watching the first fire and trying to answer questions and different agencies responding. Douglas County gave out the official evacuation area that day, and they say that that got misinterpreted by various agencies who were posting information online. And that information was updated throughout the day. You know, in an emergency, things change, and they try to communicate the best that they can.
So what did Superior residents you spoke to have to say about this?
Well, I mean, they spoke about their confusion with what was going on that day. The person I spoke with, Julie Johnson, they live about 3 miles away from the refinery, and they don't watch TV. So they were looking online on news websites and Facebook to try and figure out what was going on. And so, you know, it turns out that Johnson wouldn't have had to evacuate at all, because it was just that 1 mile around the refinery. Nobody north of 28th Street here in Superior would have needed to evacuate that day. But, you know, a number of people beyond that line, including university students, had to go over to Duluth because information changed that was going out.
Yeah, at one point, the university itself was kind of a rallying point for people to go to who had evacuated. And then all of a sudden, it looked like the line had shifted. And there was just the conflicting messages on social media actually affected the actual evacuation, didn't they?
Yes. Yeah, because the actual evacuation area got expanded by social media, they let that continue because they didn't want to put out information and then have people being confused and coming back into an area that wasn't safe. So they thought it was better to just let it grow rather than having people come into the area that they didn't want them to be.
Okay. So did the report have any suggestions for how to avoid this kind of confusion in the future?
Yeah, I mean, one of them is training and better understanding of the Emergency Operations Center and the Incident Command Structure. You know, I think emergency services here in Superior and Duluth, they all had that background. They all knew what to do and where to go in an emergency. But some of the other, you know, outliers that became involved, like the school district and government leaders, maybe didn't have as much of that background. So they've gone through training since then to educate people about this is your role, this is where the incident command center is, and this is where you go if you need information about what to do. I'm sorry, John, I already forgot the first part of your question.
Well, so did I. Let's move on. I was thinking as this whole thing was unfolding, comparisons to when the tank car full of benzene went into the Nemadji River back in the early 1990s, and right. And how the way information gets exchanged and posted for people to look at has really changed a lot in the last 25 or 30 years. So, you know, is there a sense that social media could be helpful, but it needs to be better managed?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, John, is that they're trying to improve their public information response. So basically, you had all these people who were giving out different information. And once the incident command structure, that emergency response formed, there was no unified voice putting out information. There were still people acting independently. So now they're going to be coordinating more and consulting with each other more to share information and designating public information officer or officers to give out that information.
And very quickly, as we close here, what are you watching for next as you continue to follow this story?
The investigations and lawsuits that are pending. You know, OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, has wrapped up their work on the site, and they said their investigation would take about 6 months to see what happened with worker safety. Of course, the Chemical Safety Board is doing their investigation. So we should be seeing some more information probably soon, I'm going to guess within the next month.
All right, Danny, thank you so much for being with us this morning. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks, John.
Danielle Kading is Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter in Superior. She reported on the ground in April when an explosion and fire happened at the Husky Oil Refinery, and she's following the story as it affects the community. I'm John Munson. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.